Hi, it's Ruby Ryder, and man, do I have a podcast for you today. Got a lot of information. First, let me tell you where I was this weekend. I was at a convention called CatalystCon. CatalystCon has a byline, Sparking Communication in Sexuality, Activism, and Acceptance. And what it felt like to me was like I found my tribe. I swear to God, it was like a huge collection of sex educators, some sex workers, sex bloggers, sex pornography makers, all kinds of people were there, including a whole bunch of people that I had been following and admiring their work for some time. I was a little starstruck now and again, but instead of going through who everybody was there, let me just jump right into what I'm going to cover tonight. We're going to talk about toxic toys, and it's a lot of information, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you all about toxic toys, and then I'm going to read you a piece of erotica at the end of the podcast. So there's your incentive, guys, all right? Okay, this class that I went to about toxic toys was led mostly by two people. It was Metis Black, and she's the owner of Tantus Toys, and she, get my information up here on my screen. Metis Black founded and built Tantus Incorporated, which is a sex toy manufacturing company that has helped change the profile of sexuality products. She has used Tantus to mainstream silicone products and educate the industry on material safety and sexuality. And the other person was Jennifer Pritchett. Jennifer Pritchett founded the Smitten Kitten, which is a progressive sex toy and supplies retailer, and she founded that in 2003. In 2005, she founded the Coalition Against Toxic Toys, and that was the first ever adult industry consumer advocacy organization. Jennifer is a pioneer in the eco-sex movement. She coined the term toxic sex toys and was the first adult toy retailer in the world to prove that you can operate a successful adult store specializing in responsible, safe, and non-toxic toys. I've been following this toxic toy thing for a while. I've linked to Jennifer's last talk on Earth Day, I believe it was. Earth Day, she urged everybody to go out and talk about toxic sex toys so that consumers are informed, so they really know what they're getting into, because so many people just really don't have a clue. Okay, let's see. Starting with toys that are made in China. Well, first of all, a lot of you know this and some of you don't. Sex toys are not regulated. They do not have to be labeled in terms of what material they're made of, and they don't even have to be labeled correctly if they are. In other words, they can lie on the labels if they want to. What's the reason for this? Because they are non-regulated. They're considered to be novelties. So when that classification is put on them, they're never intended to be used in or on bodies, okay? But we all know that that's exactly what we do with them. So toys that are made in China, they will be labeled any way they damn want to. And we were even told a story by Jennifer Pritchett of someone who was seeking out a supply of toys and spoke to a man in China and said, "So what are these made out of?" And the Chinese man said, "How would you like it labeled?" And he said, "Well, no, what are they made out of?" And the guy said, "Do you want it to say 100% silicone?" "No, you're not understanding me. What are they made out of?" He said, "It doesn't matter. How would you like them labeled?" Okay, this is just probably not exactly the conversation that took place, but it was very, very close. And this just gives you an idea of what happens here. You cannot trust the labeling on toys made in China. And I don't really know much about the ones made here, but what I do know that this tells us is that you really need to find a reputable toy manufacturer that you can trust, one that has taken that vow to only make non-toxic toys. The toxic toys, we've talked a little bit before, have a couple of problems. There's toxic chemicals inside them called phthalates, which is just a nightmare to spell, and it doesn't really matter. The point is those can leak through your mucous membranes, because many times these are being inserted into rectums and vaginas, and go straight into your body. Now, a lot of people are wondering, well, what about phthalates? How dangerous are they really? They're dangerous enough for them to be banned in children's toys, okay? They're dangerous enough for them to be regulated in food-grade plastics that are meant for the use of, like, Tupperware, things like this. So they're serious business. And to think that laws have been passed prohibiting them in those products, yet they're not passed in adult toys. In adult toys, there's people who are getting exposed every single day to these things. Just freaks me out, and it should freak you out too. Why are they not talked about? Oh, I'm going to paraphrase Jennifer Pritchett. She said something very close to this. Children's toys containing phthalates are a subject that is much more palatable on the evening news than dildos or butt plugs. And this is absolutely true. We live in a culture that has a lot of sex shame and sex repression. So this is stuff that's just not talked about. So who's getting the blowback in terms of health consequences on this? Anybody who uses these toxic toys that doesn't know what the hell's going on. So please spread the word amongst your sex, positive sex-friendly friends, lovers, everybody. Let them know about toxic sex toys. So here's what can happen. Not only can those chemicals get in you, but those toxic sex toys, the jelly ones specifically, they can cause infections. The reason being is because they're porous. They can hold viruses, bacteria, all kinds of things. So here's what happens. Many bacterial infections treated by doctors who have no clue that it can be caused by the toys go unreported. And so it's not as if we're sort of keeping tabs on this. Oh, we haven't seen a lot of them in the emergency room or anything. There is no reporting on it. Why is there no reporting? Largely it's about shame. If you have a bacterial infection, if you have a UTI, a uterine tract infection, you're not going to go and tell the doctor you use this dildo. So a lot of it is shame. But also because the health professionals have no training. They literally have no training. They have no clue about this. This was verified in the class by a woman who said, I can verify that, so I'm assuming she was a health professional of some type. She didn't identify herself, but this is reality, people. There's no training for MDs. So the next thing is, a lot of people think when you buy these toys, which, by the way, a lot of people buy them because they're cheaper. The price of good silicone toys has come way down, and so they're pretty affordable these days, especially when you think about the health consequences and all the bullshit that you have to deal with toxic toys and the industry that you are helping support if you buy them. So there's been this thing going around about, well, just put a condom over it. In fact, I was told that. I was told that at a sex toy store down in Los Angeles a couple of years ago. And that was what that employee told me, was that's what they were told to tell people who were buying the jelly toys and the toxic toys, is just make sure you put a condom over it. So I checked this, and Jennifer Pritchett said, there is no study that shows that using a condom will make it safe. There is no study whatsoever. So you can't say that with any certainty. Let me introduce to you the concept of inert versus active. An inert material is something that does not try and interact with its environment. 100% silicone is inert. An active material is something that will act as a catalyst with other things. It will maybe mold to it or bond to it. And the jelly toys are absolutely very active, which is why sometimes if you put two jelly toys in a bag together, it gets kind of hot, you will find them molded together. It has to do with chemistry, has to do with free electrons cruising around and wanting to attract things and bond with things. So if you put a condom over this toxic sex toy, latex is not inert. Latex is actually an active material as well, so you're putting an active material on top of another active material, And you absolutely cannot say with any certainty, oh, just put a condom over it and it should be fine. So I would like people to stop telling people that. It's a justification for buying the cheap, toxic toys, and it's horrible. It still smells, and because it's trying to bond and it's active, and the odor is the evidence. The odor is always the evidence. Silicone never has an odor. Here's another couple of clues. Silicone is never clear, ever, ever. So if you like the look of those cool red, pink, purple, blue, clear dildos, yeah, not happening. Silicone is never clear. Here's another interesting fact. Silicone will not burn. So when I mentioned this briefly, I believe it was in the last podcast about, oh, the young man who wrote in saying, okay, how are you supposed to deal with sex toys from a previous relationship? Should you have a drunken bonfire in the backyard and burn them all? And I mentioned, you know, you might end up with dildos sitting there. You will end up with dildos sitting there. They do not burn. Silicone doesn't burn. So that's some clues to try and make sure you have silicone. Again, you cannot trust labeling. They will put anything they want on there, and they have motivation to do that. What's happening is consumers are becoming more educated right now, and they're learning the buzzwords. They're learning about phthalates. They're learning about silicone. And so many times, toys that have no business being labeled that way and are far from it are labeled 100% silicone and phthalate-free, and they're totally lying. There's no repercussions. There is nothing that can be done about it. There's no regulation. They can totally get away with it. So do not shop for the cheapest toy, and just because the label says 100% silicone, phthalate-free, say, oh, no, 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 I'm good, I'm covered. Not happening. Wake up and make sure that you find a really reputable toy dealer. And they're out there, people. They are totally out there. Okay, let me now introduce you to a website that Jennifer Pritchett started called badvibes.org. She's posted some studies up there. It's a pretty gutsy thing to do. She posted studies up there of, I believe it was 4 or 5 different sex toys, and she took them to a laboratory, and she had them analyzed. She had them list exactly what was in there, and it was a little horrifying. Whereas children's toys, you know, no phthalates in them at all. One of those toys, I believe she said, was about 60-some percent phthalates. I mean, it's the scariest thing to think about, putting that inside your body. And she posted these online, probably did not endear herself to the manufacturers whatsoever. She posted how much she paid to have these lab tests done. It was a way gutsy move to do. It was totally amazing. That's not the only thing that's on that site. On that site as well, let me tell you what's here, is this cool thing about it's a toy buying guide, and it lets you know, safe sex toy shopping checklist, and it gives you some guidelines as to how you can tell, how you can make sure you get safe toys. There are coalition partners. It's called the Coalition Against Toxic Toys, and there is a whole list of reputable manufacturers, retailers. And there is a safe sex toy shopping guide. And the truth about what's in your sex toys as well, that is where you're going to find the lab tests. So I highly recommend you check that out. One of the other things that Jennifer started was an organization called the Progressive Pleasure Club. Progressive Pleasure Club is a network of independent brick-and-mortar sex shops, and they're dedicated to helping people make informed choices about sexuality products. So, progressivepleasureclub.com is another place where you will find listed retailers. So, Metis Black, the owner of Tantus, who was there, she also talked about people who potentially had been affected by toys, had gotten bacterial infections or had things happen to them because of the toxicity, being paid off, basically. You know, we talked about how this can change. And that was an education in and of itself. Metis has everything tested. She has lab tests done on her toys, and she only buys silicone from one supplier to make sure that it's absolutely exactly the same every time, and it's guaranteed. So there is a reputable manufacturer. Right up is Tantus. And so, okay, how can we make this change? Well, obviously you need to spread the word, because consumer education is really powerful. What this will mean is that people will begin to demand safe toys. And, you know, you can tell that this is starting to happen already because of the whole shift over to, oh, manufacturers that never used to make safe toys, like Doc Johnson, you know, and now they're making stuff that they say is 100% silicone. I don't think I'd trust it, because I don't think that that's actually a trustworthy company. Even though so many people, when I'm on the boards, when newbies are asking for equipment, so many people recommend the Vacu-Lock. That limits, you know, I've said this before, that limits your choices so much. And I think you get stability. That's the word. The same stability. You can get the same stability from a good harness. And I don't think you really need the whole Vacu-Lock. But the reason I would never buy it is because I don't trust Doc Johnson. They have a whole bunch of crap out there. I better watch them and go sue me. As if anyone that works at Doc Johnson is listening to me. But the point is, you know, reputable manufacturers. You need to really deal with reputable people. So this is starting to happen, and that's why you're getting the buzzword thing, you're getting the mislabeling, because they know what sucks people in. And what is sucking people in now, what's making their buying decisions, is 100% silicone, phthalate-free. Non-toxic is probably another one they throw on there. All right, so how are we going to get it to change? Okay, so check this out. Now, of course, the difficult part comes is that a lot of people don't want to talk about sex toys. And that would be the biggest reason that nothing has happened here. So, because nothing has happened, people get exposed to toxic chemicals. People get infections from dildos they have no idea are holding bacteria, and that's the problem. And these manufacturers keep making toxic toys, keep selling them really cheap, and pretty much try as hard as they can to cover all of this up, because they know the dominoes are falling. But there have been threats against people. There have been payoffs. This is a dirty business. So there you go. That's all the information about toxic toys I have for you right now. I just wanted to wake you all up, and I really wanted you to get out there and tell your friends about it. And you know, if you're like the kinky person in secret, and you just like are kinky with your partner, make sure your partner knows. Or, you know, better yet, wouldn't it be cool if you could just give this information to anybody with no shame, with no thought about freaking them out? Because, you know, there's a whole bunch of us out there that use sex toys, and I would hazard to guess that the majority of people use sex toys. So wouldn't it be cool if, like, you were in the market and you were in line and you could just turn to the person in back of you and say, excuse me, do you use sex toys? Because if you do, there's really something you need to know about the toxicity of some of those toys. And you should go to badvibes.org and check it out. So just make sure you don't get sick, okay? Can you imagine a society in which that little shame, that above board talking, mainstream discussion of sexuality happens? I can, and I want to work towards that. But do whatever you can. Tell whoever you can. Spread the word to whoever you can. And push your boundaries a little bit, maybe. Talk about sex toys with people that you hadn't thought about before. Okay, so don't call me. Don't write me and say, I told Grandma and she freaked out. Use your best judgment. But the point is, talk about it. Tell people as much as you can. Okay, so check this out. In California, we have something called Proposition 65. I don't know it's in other states, so anybody who's in other states, check it out and find out what you guys have. And anybody in other countries, check it out and see what you guys have. All I know about is California. And in 1986, the California voters approved an initiative that has to do with, Well, first of all, what it's called is the Safe Drinking Water and Toxic Enforcement Act. And basically, what it is meant to do is it requires a state to publish a list of chemicals known to cause cancer, birth defects, or other reproductive harm. So this list is like updated once a year, and it's grown to actually include about 800 chemicals since it was first published in 1987. What it also does is requires businesses to notify Californians about significant amounts of chemicals in the products that they purchase for their homes or workplaces or that are released into the environment. So let me read that again. Requires businesses to notify Californians. Okay, so the manufacturers of these sex toys should be labeling their products that they're actually cancer-causing. We know that phthalates are cancer-causing. That's why they're not in kids' toys. We know they are. That is absolutely happening. Why are the sex toy manufacturers not taken to task over this? Why are they not being brought to justice, so to speak? Why are they not required to label their merchandise? Because no one is, because there's shame in this society. No one's talking about it. Again, like Jennifer Pritchett said, we'd rather talk about the kids' toys. We don't want to talk about sex toys and dildos and butt plugs. No. Not okay. People freak out when you do that. Well, you know what? People are also getting sick. So this is not a cool thing anymore. Never has been. But I really, let's jump a little bit forward to who is supposed to enforce this. The California Attorney General's Office is supposed to enforce Proposition 65. But check this out. For cities whose population exceeds 750,000, any district attorney or city attorney may also enforce Proposition 65. In addition, any individual acting in the public interest may enforce Proposition 65 by filing a lawsuit against a business alleged to be in violation of this law. Every freaking manufacturer of toxic sex toys is in violation of this law. So, you know, who's out there? Who wants to step forward and be the person that says, no, these businesses cannot do this anymore? And the dominoes will begin to fall. And you get the brave attorney who says, you know what? It's a health hazard. I don't care if it's uncomfortable to talk about. We need to protect the people. So let's see here. It says lawsuits have been filed by the Attorney General's Office, district attorneys, consumer advocacy groups, maybe the ACLU will grab it, and private citizens and law firms. Penalties for violating Proposition 65 by failing to provide notices can be as high as $2,500 per violation per day. So obviously this is something they would have to take very, very seriously. And it would completely change the entire industry. It would make it a healthy industry. It would make it a more relaxed industry in terms of, well, I don't know, people like me who, I know these toxic toys are out there and I don't want you guys to get sick from them. I don't want you to get infections from them. A lot of us sex educators are kind of freaked out about this. Certainly Jennifer Pritchett, and I really admire all the stuff that she has done around this. And obviously she and Metis Black have absolutely inspired me around this. So that's the deal on Prop 65. And again, people in other states, you know, go for it. Find out what you got. Take these people to task. Make them acknowledge the fact that they are selling toxic sex toys. Could you imagine if there was something on every single jelly dildo package that said, warning, this contains, you know, it's just like the cigarettes, this contains something known to cause cancer. You need to be sticking that up anywhere, man. You don't even want it anywhere near you. This needs to happen because it needs to stop being a danger point for people using sex toys. I mean, what a horrible repercussion for actually using sex toys to have it be dangerous. Good grief. So get out there, talk to people, and if anybody wants to step forward and jump on this thing in California, you would have a lot of support. You really would. You would have a lot of sex educators behind you cheering you on, and who knows what we can all do together if we put our minds to it. So go for it, somebody. Okay. Correlation is not the same as causation, but I can't help but think, okay, if these are known cancer-causing products, how much of this has an effect on cervical cancer. What do you think? You know, there's all kinds of things to think about with this. This is not pretty stuff. So get serious about your sex toys. If you can't afford the good ones, save up your money. Have patience. Wait. Ask for a gift certificate for your birthday or for Christmas from someone who wants to give you a present. You know, if you just ask for a gift certificate from a company, they won't know what you're going to buy. You can, you know, giggle and say, yeah, the sex toy company, but that's not revealing your kink. That's not saying, I'd really like a Fieldo. That's not the same thing. Because that's totally revealing exactly what your kink is. Because they'll look it up and go, whoa. So, that's one option. But, you know, it's not that much more for a good sex toy. And here's the deal. If you buy the cheap ones, okay, and you cover them up with a condom, and you're going to trust that that's okay, which we don't know if it is. There's no proof of that. Everybody who knows about this whole toxic toy thing and the bacterial problems with the porosity of it, says do not keep those things very long. Do not keep them at all. You know, use them a number of times and then throw them away. And you know, with the knowledge that they're toxic anyway. So if you're just going to keep buying them and throwing them away, save your money and get the good ones, because that good one, that will last you freaking forever. One of the other aspects of this that was brought up, which I thought was fascinating, was, okay, you're going to have a certain number of those situations where you have somebody on a business trip who's meeting someone clandestinely, and perhaps it's not even clandestinely, it's just someone that is, two people meet up in a hotel room somewhere and have kinky sex for whatever their reasons are. And those sex toys maybe are just meant to be used one time. Who knows? But even that's still not good. The toxic thing, not good. So pass the word, people. Make it your mission to educate all your kinky friends and partners, and whoever else will listen and not freak out about toxic sex toys. It's really important. All right, I promised you some erotica. I am going to read you a story from my archives that's actually only available to my top-level customers in reward for you listening to my rant and my information overload about toxic sex toys. That's how important I consider this to be. This is a story called Love and Lust. You hold a plate out to me as I come into the kitchen. The curve of your bicep grabs my attention just as powerfully as if you'd grabbed the hair at the back of my neck and kissed me. You can do that just by being who you are. Your curves fit with my curves. We discovered that years ago on clean white sheets that were wet with our sweat by the time our explorations were over. Steam rises off my breakfast with a promise of necessary and tasty sustenance. Last night was long and luscious. There's a quiet satiety between us that won't last long, because it's one of those weekends. Our eyes meet as the plate touches my hand, the loose drawstring of my blue silk pajamas lets them rest scrumptiously low on your hips. I concentrate on holding the plate firmly, just to get it to the table, not far. You've turned to the stove by the time I look back at you. Your t-shirt is a thin layer that can't hide my hard nipples as I press myself against your back. The wanting never stops on these magical weekends. It is constant, intense. The scent of you is earthy, warm, and erotic. Partly me, partly you. Wearing each other's clothes, surrounded by the scent of our play. My hand feels your smooth chest, the slight prickle of hair beginning to grow back. I trace your nipple and feel you quiver. You are smooth everywhere, as if I needed anything more to feed my desire. If you wanted me to be unable to stop touching you, it worked. Now that razor and I have both explored all of your secret places. You turn around and gather me up in a kiss that brings hot wanting with it. A moment hangs in the balance. Fuck or eat? You cooked, so I'm inclined to let you decide. But I stack the deck and let my fingers slide underneath the blue silk and between your cheeks in blatant suggestion. You pull back from the kiss and smile at me. That's what I know. Fuck. A plate on the stove, a plate on the table, both abandoned. You and I, back on the sun-warmed bed, where nakedness is ours again. I squeeze you, half hard, and then push you onto your stomach. A settling and a deep breath exhaled slowly. An easy exploration of the lovely muscles of your back is in order for you to relax. Your transition is intentional and profound, mental, emotional. From the one who enters to the one who is entered. From exploring my insides to opening your own door for an equally welcome visitor. Fingers linger, cheeks are separated, an outstretched tongue, the moment of contact. Your sharp intake of breath precedes the raising of your hips. I pause and let the sensation sink in a bit before beginning to answer your instant craving for more. Warm and wet, my tongue pushes deeper inside you, grabbing your insides and making you tremble. Your smooth body is all invitation and longing as your hands grab the sheets. My tongue gradually finds a deeper beat of passion until you are all mine to play, a fine and rare instrument, one I am impossibly well attuned to. Fingers replace my tongue. My name is whispered into the sheets. The toy box next to the bed is still open from last night. I know what you want. Even when it is there ready between my legs, I make you wait. The curve of your ass draws my hands like a magnet. Your smoothness keeps me there, there where coarse hair was only yesterday morning. Now your nakedness seems more naked. Nothing is hidden. Your dark gaze speaks of fire and yearning as I pull you over and slide a pillow underneath your smooth, hairless cheeks. Then, lips to lips and cock to cock, I kiss you. In that way of letting you know, you're mine. Patient, because you've learned waiting brings rewards, your hard cock bucks against me with strong, silent pleas. My slick hands stroke you firmly until your mouth opens with abandon. I stop. You are already lifting your legs up as I move between them and touch you with the cool, glistening extension of myself. Your face as I slide into you, I never tire of watching. Every time it thrills me, fascinates me, floods my wetness until it drips down my legs. A sweet, sexy rhythm rises between us like a cobra, feeding off each other's heat, twisting and sweating in the strong, slippery energy that joins us. Slices of bright morning sunlight from the window showcase our various parts coming together. I want to devour your honeyed tongue, descend into your fire and stoke it until you scream with the intensity of our coupling. Our hearts connect as deeply as our bodies, and with as much intensity. This upside-down intimacy took time for us to learn, with rewards greater than we could have imagined. Now here I am, looking down at you, pushing into you, and it is your face, so vulnerable, thrilling to the sensations of my fucking. My hips make circles in small movements as I watch your ascent into fiery helplessness. Strong legs lock around my waist and pull me deeper. Primal moans and grunts fill the still air. harder. You like it harder at the end. So do I. Everything in this moment combines to kindle my own heat, and I try to catch up, seeing you are close. I am hard against you, driving my want and my need into your depths, inside you, and with you, and a part of you, and most of all, loving you. A moment slowed by intensity unfolds. Your heart beats violently against my breast, and we stare into each other's eyes, wide with erotic fury, skin slapping against skin, hard, harder. Then you are yelling, I am moaning. Together we become a wild animal of spasming white slickness, sweat, and tears. Fucking you is one of the most intense things we do together. Each time I am shocked by the power of it, like now, how deep it touches us both, how at the end of it there is a sob buried in both of our chests from the sheer force of connection. Our insides overlap for a time, exposing all, making our fears of letting our deepest parts be seen feel so needless. Here we are, uncovered, wildly alive, and throbbing with existence, and it feels so, so good, so real. Breakfast warmed up. We sit at the table, you in my blue silk pants, and me in your t-shirt. I sit on your lap. For now, our hearts cannot bear to be separated, even for an instant. I hope you enjoyed that, everybody. Thank you for your patience with the toxic toy important stuff. And I hope you enjoyed my treat of erotica. And I wanted to read something else to you here. I got the coolest little message from a friend of mine up in British Columbia. The message subject said, thank you. And then it went on to say, Saturday morning, lingerie and boots, Nexus plug in Ruby Rider on podcast. Life is grand. This is a cross-dressing friend of mine, and I think he had a wonderful Saturday morning, and that just made my day when I got that message. That was awesome. I'm glad you are enjoying my podcast, and I hope everybody else is too. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I wanted to tell you guys. This is a kind of a long podcast, but we're having such a good time. Well, there's the usual. Please send any questions that you have, stories. I love stories, personal things that have happened to you. We like those. Any questions, stories, comments to ruby@peggingparadise.com. You can follow me at Twitter. If you already follow me at Twitter, I do hope I did not overwhelm your Twitter box with tweets this weekend from CatalystCon. I discovered for the first time this weekend the power of tweeting in a community, so to speak, and how you can use the hashtags to reach everyone in that community. And it was pretty damn cool. Twitter was awesome. And like I said, I met so many people. I've got so many podcasts worth of material for you guys and articles on my blog. I am having a fun time, and I am more inspired with so many ideas and education than I have been in many months. So, good stuff, that CatalystCon. There are some great, great people out there trying to further the cause of making sex normal, making sex healthy, having conversations about it instead of this whole repressive society thing, the bullshit that's going on. So I'm glad you guys are a part of that, because if you weren't, you would not be listening to this podcast. I have gotten a couple of messages from people who have requested specific types of shows. One as an all-woman show. I think that's a fabulous idea. I got some comments about the bisexual stuff that I talked about. wanting more of that. I'm really encouraged. I think that's totally awesome. At first, when I started doing podcasts and writing articles, I tended to avoid that just because there's such a freak-out thing about the whole I'm not gay bullshit. And, you know, after going to this conference, it's just so important to leave the labels behind. It really is. They can be useful for describing some things, but I think in this case they're quite divisive, and I really would like to get away from that and welcome anyone who is interested in pegging to be here and to feel comfortable. I don't want to ignore the bisexual people just because they're such a freak out about potentially being gay if you're a guy. It's bullshit. You're all welcome. And I'm really, really glad that you're all here. Okay. So, it's been a long weekend. I drove back home this Sunday night. I'm going to pour myself a drink, post this up on the internet, and thank you for listening. And I will be back next week with even more information for you. Who knows? Maybe some more erotica. Goodbye, everyone. Ruby Ryder, Peggy Paradise.